So Tanya would be a good one to do a Métis retreat?
Or to talk to her about it.
Yeah.
About if she knows anyone or if she thinks, or you know, or because like I said, from my point of view, the way that you're getting it explained to you for, is like as the point of view of an anthropologist. Even though it's my history, I'm separated so much from it that I have to kind of almost, I have to recreate it. I have to figure out what's
there's an elder of hers, Solomon, and I want to get him to speak at the R3, like to do a Skype with him. Everyone involved, and so I definitely have to reach out to Tanya. I want to actually on the grass the Facebook group. I want to get a dialogue going and invite say you, Tanya, all to a thread, and we're gonna kind of hash out ideas for what we want to see at the bar three.
I like Tanya by the way a lot. She is like a really cool person.
Yeah, for sure. I know.
Really cool, and she seems to have more actual. Because, like I said, my problem is I have no connection to the Métis. I approached the Quebec Métis community guy when I wanted Sophie to go to the Akwesasne Freedom School, which was in the States. But then that whole process, I was going to get my Métis status because I probably could with my background.
Yeah.
Like, it would be fairly easy to establish a Métis.
Yeah. Yeah, wouldn't there be benefits? Wouldn't you be getting benefits of some sort, too?
Well, for example, Sophie could have gone to the Iroquois school, the Mohawk school.
Yeah.
She would have to register to Métis school. And then how they do it, like, so, like, if, say, you're a Navajo, but you're living in Quebec, in New York.
Yeah.
You might be able to go to the Mohawk school so that everybody can go to the to a tribal school even if they're not close to their own tribal people. So I could have done that, but then after that, it was in between all of that, 911 happened. And then it was like, never mind, I'm not going through the... I mean, it was going to already be a challenge because it's Quebec and I want to go to an American school.
Yeah.
Even though we used to do that here. Like, all of the kids here used to go to high school in Salmon River.
In the States?
In the States.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a history of that. That's partially also what's changed in the area.
Okay.
Like I said, after 911, there was no way I'm going to go through so many borders a day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it got a little weird around here, especially around here, because... Here, we're walking distance to the border.
Now, with that being said, is it come back, the back and forth, at least? Like, is there...
Yeah, the one time, we used to hang out in each other's communities like it was one big community. It was almost operated, even though, like, we have separate, municipalities.
So it doesn't happen like that? It's not that connected now?
Well, it is and it isn't. You know, families get separated by borders, eh?
Well, Skype, you know, that should introduce a level of connectivity if we use it. Like I said, with the R3, you take that and you basically, if you make it a Google Hangout, that's what I want to do with it.
Yeah.
Invite someone, but invite people can gather to a screen in one webcam, you know, have a big discussion, and that would be amazing. Like, it'd be fairly feasible. So that's for this next R3, and you guys interested? Like, you're on the group, right? So
I'm very much into the whole telecommuting thing too.
Yeah.
Basically the way we have it set up right now, if we wanted to make it efficient, we almost have to flip it over.
Flip it over, and sorry, how? What do you mean?
Well, because. Over, like, say, the last 20 years, okay? And I say that just because I know that for probably about 10 of those years, you're in high school, so you're in that world, right? But over the last 20 years, we've undergone this incredible, incredible ultra-centralization. Now, you probably realize that, right? That's great. Okay, for certain things.
Yeah.
Okay, for other things, it's like horrible. You know, like the way the medical system, say in Quebec, used to work, is that you have your GP, and say you have cancer. Your GP will now treat you, but he will treat you in consultation with a specialist in Montreal. Okay? Now, they have you go to the city to see the cancer specialist. And the GP just kind of treats colds and stuff. Now, the problem with that is, okay, now Montreal has got crumbling infrastructure. Like, you realize right. It's one of the oldest cities in North America.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got crumbling infrastructure. So what we've done is we've completely centralized the system over this crumbling infrastructure on an island. And where they're building this super hospital thing is in the middle of like the worst interchange in Montreal, where practically all of the different super highways meet.
Now, that's in one way though, if you can manage it, great for ambulances because it's a junction.
It sounds great, eh?
Oh.
Well, it's not.
No.
Because the way that that infrastructure is set up, all it's going to do is it's going to create gridlock in every fucking direction. Mm. On the crumbling infrastructure.
Okay.
It's completely crazy. And when you centralize the hospitals, you're centralizing the diseases.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're going to be even more efficiently redistributing the diseases in your society. You know, and the thing is that we don't need to. This is where the generation that's doing the ultra centralization stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't realize that with the technology that.
Can you find a post and put that on the R3? Can you like write a note right now? Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to be frank, but this, we got to do this right now. Like, get the word out that super hospitals are a terrible idea. At the very least, address those reasons and make sure you know.
Yeah.
No, you're right. No, it definitely makes